Pushkin.
Did you know some travel credit cards offer 10x points on your spending? Don't miss out on big rewards for your next trip. NerdWallet lets you compare smart travel credit cards side by side, curated by an expert team of finance nerds. What could future you do with better travel rewards? A free flight? A room upgrade? Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet, finance smarter.
The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business. The PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with AI coaching tools and 5G-connected cameras. AAA is getting more drivers back on the road fast with location telematics. And the Las Vegas Grand Prix is powering race day operations with 5G connectivity, giving fans an experience at the speed they deserve. This is accelerating innovation with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Welcome to Judging Sam, the trial of Sam Bankman-Fried. I'm Michael Lewis. We're recording this on Tuesday evening, Halloween, October the 31st, and we're finally in the home stretch. The prosecution finished their cross-examination of Sam today, and then the defense followed up with a redirect, and then everybody rested. Tomorrow, we'll start closing arguments. Lydia Jean, you waited outside the courthouse for nearly 7 hours last night. What was that like?
Honestly, I feel embarrassed that I did that, especially because there was no need because people were arriving at 6 a.m. and able to get into the courthouse fine. But I got scared from yesterday.
Well, the market turned, right? It was so interesting to hear people talk. They had this etiquette that nobody divulged what time they got there because the night before, because it was going to cause people to get there even earlier the next day.
Yeah.
And they've been this creep to the point where 2 days ago, the first guy shows up at like 11 o'clock at night.
You know, I feel like I've done every hour. I've done two, I've done three, I've done four
right.
Hours that I've never really considered part of my day before.
So you got there, you said 1 in the morning?
2:15, I think.
2:15. You got there at 2:15, and how many people were ahead of you?
13.
But at 6 in the morning, you could still get a spot in the
courtroom. Because 21 people can usually get in, and I think the 21st person arrived at like 6:30 a.m.
So I was in the overflow room for the first half of the day anyway, with people, and I was surrounded by people who'd forsworn the morning line, so that this wasn't worth it, and they didn't care anymore. This is no way to lead a life, and all, there was all that kind of stuff going on in the overflow room. But there were, I don't know, 80 people there, 90 people there. There was a crowd still. So give us a brief summary of what happened today.
Yeah. So the prosecution finished questioning Sam, and I'd say it wasn't too different from yesterday, where he kept saying that he didn't remember things. Then the defense did a redirect, and then they rested, and then the prosecution decided not to do a rebuttal.
And then what happened for the back end of the day?
Then there was, it's called a charging conference, which is when the lawyers and the judge talked about what instructions the jury should get about the charges. So basically what they're supposed to consider when they're considering Sam's case.
And did they finish with that?
They did, yes.
And what did they, were you able to hear what they were saying?
Basically the judge is going to read to the jury this 60-page document that explains every single charge and how they need to think about that charge. And they went through the 60-page document pretty much line by line. And it was everything from fixing typos, like talking about like whether a sentence should be in the subjunctive or not, which they actually did disagree about, to more substantial things as well. So
what did you sense were the bones of contention between the defense and either the judge or the prosecution?
It was pretty much what you would expect. For instance, the prosecution wanted to have a clause that said conscious avoidance. So basically the idea of purposefully not knowing something, if you're purposefully not knowing it, doesn't make you not guilty of the thing. Like kind
like,
of
like skipping the meeting where you're talking about the bug and how to fix the bug.
Exactly. And then the defense said that they don't want conscious avoidance to be one of the charges.
Gotcha. What did you make of Sam on the stand? Did he seem that he had shifted his strategy at all?
No, I think it was just a daze of, I don't remember.
Yeah, I've never seen anybody not remember so many memorable things.
Like that's because he had so much more to lose by remembering. You know what I mean? Like nothing that he would remember could actually help him that much. And things that he said could actually hurt him. So probably his lawyer said it was a safer strategy to just say he doesn't remember, because that way he can't get caught for lying on the stand, which could add extra time.
Yeah, that part of it was kind of unsatisfying. I thought the, what did you think of the redirect? The redirect to me is very satisfying because he finally will talk and sort of explain stuff. And a lot of what it, you know, and a lot of what he's explaining makes sense. The frustration with the courtroom is neither side is actually operating in the spirit of honesty. They're both trying to make a case. And so taking stuff out of context and blowing stuff up and making it mean something different than it actually meant back when it was happening. And it was, I find it kind of a relief to let him go a little bit and let him explain. Judging Sam, we'll be right back.
As listeners of this show, you probably consider yourself pretty smart. But how smart is your wallet? When you're looking to upgrade your wallet, it's time to turn to NerdWallet. Their expert teams of nerds have the financial smarts to help you find the right financial products for you. Before NerdWallet, you might have paid for vacations with whatever was in your wallet, but you could have been missing out on miles you didn't even know you were leaving on the table. Now you can get a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? Lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet. Finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business. The PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with AI coaching tools and 5G connected cameras. AAA is getting more drivers back on the road fast with location telematics. And the Las Vegas Grand Prix is powering race day operations with 5G connectivity, giving fans an experience at the speed they deserve. This is Accelerating Innovation with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Welcome back to Judging Sam, the trial of Sam Bankman-Fried.
You told me at lunch that you learned, I think you said you learned two things today, right?
We're now at the end of the testimony. And I have a long list of things that I'm surprised I didn't learn more about. You know, I thought the trial was going to clear some stuff up for me that it just didn't. Today, you know, one thing that was interesting to me, they gave us a glimpse of a memo that Caroline had written to Sam. And most of the random stuff was very positive stuff, like, oh, we made $10 billion this quarter on FTT or whatever it was. But they had it was the moment they took the loss for what was essentially a theft of the exchange. It was a gaming of the risk engine. Using a couple of obscure crypto tokens. I thought the loss from that episode was $600 million, and she listed it as $850 million. And that was, you know, I've been hungering for, there's still money that's unaccounted for. If you listen to the prosecution case from the point of view of a jury who's sort of like only half paying attention, you might come away with the belief that, oh, Sam Bankman-Fried stole $11 billion in customer money and spent it all. Mm-hmm. I kept using that term. You spent it.
Yes.
He spent very little of it. Most of it is either there or invested in things that actually have some value. Some things that have some great value.
Because, you know, in the judge's eyes, right, it's like if you stole money and then you win the lottery or luckily found it, it doesn't really impact that you stole the money.
Yeah, but that's not what happened here. The bankruptcy people have collected $7.3 billion of liquid assets that seem to have been stuffed in various exchanges and bank accounts. And there was a bunch of liquid assets still on hand when they collapsed. And he made a big bunch of venture capital investments. And that, so I was surprised that didn't find its way in. They still had the opportunity to call witnesses, for example, in the rebuttal. I didn't know who they were going to call.
Yeah, and they said they were going to call some yesterday.
There were five characters from the book, kind of principal characters in the book. And in particular, I thought, Ramnik Arora was basically on a plane to come here. He thought he was on the witness stand. He thought he had a date, I think, at one point.
And Ramnik Arora is he was a pretty high up FTX person, right?
Very high up. I kind of half thought that a couple of things from other things from the book were going to make their way in via the prosecution. And we found out that the book was apparently disallowed or something. I got a note today that the Wall Street Journal, I guess it's in the transcripts, reported that the defense tried to introduce a passage from the book and were told they couldn't do it.
This was during a side panel, so we couldn't hear it in court.
If you'd asked me what was going to be introduced from the book, and I thought, how could it not be? Sam telling me when I asked him what he would have said if someone had directly, precisely asked him the question, is Alameda subjected to the same risk engine as every other trader on FTX? And he says, I would have made a word salad or I would have found some way to answer a different question. I just thought, wow, it's so damning how did that not find its way in? But it didn't. It just shows you that like telling a story in a courtroom is just different from telling the story as you would as a writer.
What was it like to hear, because moments that you spent with Sam came up in court, right? Like they asked him about when he took a private jet to a Super Bowl game.
I remember that it was a private plane because I was on the plane.
You don't not recall?
I don't not recall. And in fact, I can give you blow by blow of being on the plane. I mostly remember who was on the plane. I remember conversations from the Super Bowl. I mean, I could kind of understand when he says, I don't remember exactly what I said to this journalist or that journalist. That I understand. You know, it's like one interview after another. You just forget. But stuff you do, like that seems stranger. Like he was asked if he had dinner with Bill Clinton and the prime minister of the Bahamas. And he kind of basically tried to say no. And then he said he wasn't sure if the food was served.
Yeah, he said he didn't know if it was a dinner, but it was an evening gathering.
It was during his crypto Bahamas thing last April. And it was a moment because they showed a video of them all together. And that was kind of a cool moment because Clinton appointed Lewis Kaplan to the bench. I mean, so Kaplan was seeing his benefactor up there on the screen. But I did, you know, I did have a thought about the prosecution's strategy of trying to make the case that Sam was trying to basically bribe the prime minister of the Bahamas.
Yeah, I wanted to bring that up with you because they also mentioned that he said he was going to pay off the national debt of the Bahamas, which is also in your book.
And I've never seen it anywhere else. That was so not, in the beginning, an attempt to bribe the prime minister of the Bahamas. It was an idea that it was one of the many bonkers ideas Sam had, including like paying Trump $5 billion not to run for president, that he had immediately upon arrival in the Bahamas when they first moved the company there, days after, because he was having trouble getting his whole company to move from Hong Kong, and especially a lot of the Chinese staff said they'd, there's no place to put their kids in school. The roads had potholes. You're complaining about the country. And he was
like, I'll fix the country.
I'll fix the country. Yes, that's exactly what it was. He thought, he didn't know what he was thinking. Maybe I'll have to do this in order to attract the talent to come work in the Bahamas. So that was the original notion. But anyway, the thought I had about that was, no matter what happens in this trial, and it seems unlikely that anything's going to happen but a conviction, there's supposed to be a second trial in March or April with these other charges that the Bahamas government had not agreed to. and that they have to agree to allow them proceed with the charges in order to bring them, to even have that trial. And it seemed a strange strategy indeed to antagonize the prime minister of the Bahamas before you're asking the Bahamas permission to do this all over again. That surprised me a bit, but it also made me wonder if the prosecution's basically decided that they're going to win so big and Sam's going to go away for so many years that there's never going to be a second trial.
That's what that's kind of what I've assumed.
The second trial would be very interesting because there are a lot of American politicians who will be implicated, and that could be a show. One of Sam's advisors suggested to me a weird possibility that if Sam is convicted and remanded to the Metropolitan Detention Center awaiting sentencing from the judge, that the judge could actually wait to sentence him for, you know, many, many months and allow the second trial to happen before he even sentenced him for the first.
Because sentencing can normally take a while.
Yeah. And so that it's conceivable. It's going to be up to Kaplan, but it's conceivable that Kaplan could will into being the second trial, which apparently would be in his courtroom too.
Oh my God, really? We could all reunite.
There are things that made an impression on me, the cross-examination over the 2 days. It surprised me that if Sam was going to testify, and he did, as he did, if you're going to scheme up a Hail Mary, you got to throw the pass. And I felt he didn't throw the pass. I felt like that too. They're not answering, kind of choking it off and not responding to the prosecution, made him look evasive to the jury. That his one hope was to be radically open, I thought.
Yeah.
But that might be just stupid. But I thought if you're gonna go
once
through
once you're
this,
already in that land, in that world, though, right? Of like
that's right. That's right. The other thing is it's sort of lurking in the background because. It's like a buzz in my head when I'm listening to the prosecutors, because their insistent line is you stole the money. The sin through my eyes is that he risked the money without permission. He borrowed it and put it at risk without asking anybody's permission. And he put people at risk without their consent, which is something he does pretty naturally. He does it in his romantic life. He does it in his relationship with his employees. Some of the characters were particularly upset that he put them in a position of lying for him. I always felt like the way they were coming at him wasn't capturing the spirit of the...
Yeah, I hear you. I think Sasuna had one time where she said, you know, would you say that you're someone who would take a huge risk and risk a big loss or something? And
right, I think that's right.
The one time she kind of got at it. And when she said that, that's what made me be like, I actually think maybe she does understand Sam Bankman-Fried.
Yeah.
But maybe the story of him as a gambler it's a slightly more complicated story than just him as a thief, right?
I think that's
a little bit more sympathy for a gambler than a crook.
I think that's right.
And he was both, so she could choose a story that worked best.
And while it's very hard for a person to contrive a self-defense after a simple theft, if I steal your purse and run off with it, it's totally understandable what I did. But if I put you at risk because I've misjudged the risk.
And isn't that the gambler's mindset? Like being forever optimistic and always believing in yourself and that it will work out, which is why you can always continue to take risks.
Well, and the added twist being that it's conceivable that
it could work out.
It could work out. So that's even weirder, right? So it's conceivable the money is there and more because this stake in Anthropic.
But at the end of the day, like, even if you're a good gambler, does anyone just always win? In the end, like, it was always going to come crashing down.
Yeah, eventually. And the way this place was run, it was chaos. Something was going to happen. Judging Sam, we'll be right back.
As listeners of this show, you probably consider yourself pretty smart. But how smart is your wallet? When you're looking to upgrade your wallet, it's time to turn to NerdWallet. Their expert teams of nerds have the financial smarts to help you find the right financial products for you. Before NerdWallet, you might have paid for vacations with whatever was in your wallet, but you could have been missing out on miles you didn't even know you were leaving on the table. Now you can get a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? Lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet. Finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business. The PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with AI coaching tools and 5G connected cameras. AAA is getting more drivers back on the road fast with location telematics. And the Las Vegas Grand Prix is powering race day operations with 5G connectivity, giving fans an experience at the speed they deserve. This is Accelerating Innovation with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
So I have a question for you, because maybe this isn't an odd thing about this trial, but it seems like an odd thing to me about this trial, that a lot of the facts were agreed upon, like the fact that the money was in the wrong place from the start. And that the reason the money was in the wrong place was this risk engine exemption and this fiat ad account where they were taking deposits directly into Alameda rather than taking them into FTX. When they find out that the money's not just in the wrong place, but that it's at risk. So when they know, and then what they do about what they know, that was sort of what was at issue during this whole trial. And the prosecutors never really go back before May of last year in their argument about this, right?
Briefly, but mostly not.
So my question is, having listened to this whole trial, when do you think Sam Bankman-Fried knew that this huge sum of money was in the wrong place? And when did you think he was really worried it was at risk?
I don't think that mattered to him.
I think that's true. It didn't even occur to him. It's just a big pot.
Yeah.
Okay. So so I agree with that. Then, so second, and the second part of this is, when do you think he was actually alarmed and being devious about it?
Okay. I think it's weird because in all of the conversations that even Adam Yedidia, Caroline, Gary, and Nishad recount, he's always acting a bit weird in those conversations. Like even in their stories, he's not acting like a man who's like, we're in a terrible situation, you know? Even in their stories, he's kind of saying, but our net asset value is okay. Like he sounds always a little bit worried, but no one ever describes him as panicked, even, you know, after everything has crashed, when he's talking to Can Sun about asking him for legal, you know, a legal reason for why the money could be in the wrong place. He doesn't even sound that worried.
Right.
His reactions don't really ever seem to match what you'd think they should be, I guess. In all these stories, his reactions read odd to me.
Do you find him an interesting character still?
He just reminds me of like those guys at the lunch table who are really good at math and science, who like talk forever and you're just like, none of this is actually relevant to my life. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't say that I feel like I completely understand him. And maybe that is partly why I woke up at 2:10 this morning and slept on, you know, a poncho and my laptop, is because I did want to see him talk, because I was hoping that if I could see him,
I
do understand him.
So, but you do feel him elusive. You don't feel like you completely understand him.
I think you're right. I think if I felt like I could confidently say I understand him, I wouldn't have been so keen on feeling like I had to see him.
Second question is, does it surprise you now you've heard this, all the evidence, you've heard all the testimony, that no one identified the problem?
Like that, you know, people were worried about FTX and Alameda's relationship, but that no one suggested that actually Alameda was just taking and using FTX's money.
Yeah. I think there's a reason no one called.
Uh-huh.
It didn't make any sense. Like, it would make a lot of sense for Alameda to, I don't know, get preferential access to customers' trading data and do on FTX what high-frequency traders do on the New York Stock Exchange. And it's legal there. That would make a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
It was so dumb for these principals whose wealth was all tied up in just the success of FTX to allow Alameda to do that. You don't guess it. It's not an obvious crime to commit. The obvious thing to do, end of 2019, beginning of 2020, when FTX is just exploding, like in a good way, is do everything to keep FTX safe. That's the obvious thing to do. And like, either get rid of Alameda or do this. Alameda is in the beginning very helpful, but when the minute Alameda is not really necessary to make markets on FTX, the minute it becomes unimportant there, you do everything to distance it. You can get rid of it. You do everything to preserve FTX because it's a source of such vast wealth. You don't jeopardize it by making weird venture capital investments with customers' money in Alameda. It's just dumb.
Why? I have been wondering why, actually.
Yeah. The trial is not asked answer the question, right? The trial, I guess if you're a juror and you're sitting there and you'd have to really not be paying too close attention, but you might come away, if you got asked at a dinner party, why did this guy do that? You might say, oh, he wanted to fly on private planes and hang out with Tom Brady or...
Name a stadium after his company. You'd have all sorts of reasons.
Yeah, but he could have done that anyway. He didn't need to do what he did in Alameda to do all that other stuff. My answer is he was going infinite. His ambition was so grandiose. $40 billion wasn't enough. He needed hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of billions to do the thing he thought he wanted to do. And so he's playing. It's all a board game. Everything in Sam Bankman-Fried's life is a game. But he's playing the game with those kind of sums in mind. So Alameda all of a sudden becomes relevant. Most people would have been incredibly satisfied. It would have been risk averse once they had a company that was valued at $40 billion.
Right.
And that for him, it's just the ante. It's just like the beginning of the game. Anyway, so what do we have to look forward to? I'm going back home in the morning. You're going to go into the courthouse. What happens tomorrow?
The prosecution will say their closing argument.
Yep.
Then the defense says their closing argument. That's 2 to 3 hours each.
Yep.
And then the prosecution does like a 45-minute rebuttal. They said it would take about 45 minutes to the defense's closing arguments.
So the prosecution gets to go last.
The prosecution gets to go last.
Huh.
And Sassoon, who I think will be doing the last rebuttal, she actually asked if she could get a podium without a monitor and move it to face the jury. And Judge Kaplan said, no, there's a reason the podiums don't move.
You remember the Saturday Night Live skit with Sean Spicer as the moving his podium around and ramming it into the jurors?
Oh,
I don't know why. That just popped to mind. Daniel Sassoon ramming the podium into the jury until then.
I don't think that's true. I mean, we were talking about how Sassoon, you know, if Sassoon told me I was guilty, I would believe it. I would apologize for everything I'd ever done in my life.
All right. So you have fun tomorrow. I'll be on a plane tomorrow. And we'll talk again on Thursday.
Yes. I speak for myself and all the journalists to say that we're going to miss you.
Well, I'll miss you too. It's been fun. See ya.
Bye. See you soon.
We'll be back in your feed soon with more expert analysis and news from Sam Bankman-Fried's trial. Thanks for listening. This episode of Judging Sam was hosted by me, Michael Lewis. Lydia Jean Cott is our court reporter. Catherine Girardeau and Nisha Venkat produced this show. Sophie Crane is our editor. Our music was composed by Matthias Bossi and John Evans of Stellwagen Symphonette. Judging Sam is a production of Pushkin Industries. Got a question or comment for me? There's a website for that. ATRpodcast.com. That's ATRpodcast.com. To find more Pushkin podcasts, listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you'd like to access bonus episodes and listen ad-free,
Don't forget to sign up for a Pushkin Plus subscription at pushkin.fm/plus or on our Apple show page.
Did you know some travel credit cards offer 10x points on your spending? Don't miss out on big rewards for your next trip. NerdWallet lets you compare smart travel credit cards side by side, curated by an expert team of finance nerds. What could future you do with better travel rewards? A free flight? A room upgrade? Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet, finance smarter.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.